Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to episode 5 of Under the Sun. So today's going to be a little different. We don't necessarily have 3 topics. We're just going to be kind of spitballing and going around and just sharing whatever. Just kind of having a casual conversation. So, Tawfiq, you want to talk about Knives Out?
Yes, sir. So on Monday, what day did we see it?
Saturday, right? Last Saturday?
Yeah, last Saturday. We got everyone together and we went to see an early screening of Knives Out.
I didn't realize it was an early screening until we got there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Neither did I. I didn't.
Because I know we were talking about going to see it and you were like,
it comes out. It's not out yet. Yeah.
I was like,
But no, Connor was smart. He found the time and we were all lucky and we got to see it early. And it was really good. What do you guys got to say about it?
I enjoyed it, but I thought it could have been better. Like the director,
what's Ryan Johnson?
He's done, what was it, the James Bond movies?
No.
Oh yeah.
I thought he.
No, that's Sam Mendes. Ryan Johnson did The Last Jedi.
Okay, I'm getting them mixed up. But I thought I thought it was shot really well though.
It was very well done.
So
very cinematically pleasing.
He wrote and directed it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, he wrote it too.
Yep.
Oh, good for him. I thought without giving too much away, I thought the direction they took, as opposed to a classic murder mystery, this one was a little bit different, and I like it. I like it a lot. You spend a lot of the movie trying to figure out, you know, how the murderer would escape, as opposed to who the murderer was.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't give too much away.
No.
But
I
thought that was cool. Yeah. I haven't seen many movies do that.
Yeah. I think it's best to go into this movie, if you haven't seen it yet, just like blind.
Know nothing.
Know nothing.
Yeah.
And just pay attention.
Yeah.
Like those
as we talk about the movie.
Yeah. Like those first 30 minutes or whatever
are crucial.
You gotta watch closely.
Dial in. Yeah. If your friends are talking, shut them up.
Yeah. But well, in the theater, we got yelled at, right?
Oh, yeah. As we were leaving, we got yelled at. But it was during the credits.
Yeah.
And I didn't think there was going to be an after-credits scene, so...
I can't remember. Was there one?
Or no.
No, there wasn't. The lady just yelled at us. Okay, Boomer.
Throwback to the TikTok episode.
Yep.
But the cast was
crazy.
It was phenomenal. Stacked.
Crazy.
I mean, a lot of good actors and actresses.
I hadn't seen that... The maid, or what was her thing?
The nurse, the housekeeper.
I've never seen
caretaker.
Her
caretaker.
On the screen before.
So Ana de Armas, I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Go off topic. Give me a rundown. I don't know anything about her.
She's going to be in the new James Bond movie with Daniel Craig, Time to Die. Yeah, she's on the up and coming, and I'm really excited to see how she does. I think she was also in Blade Runner 2049.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She's pretty young, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
It's going to be exciting.
It was cool to
see
a fresh face.
Oh, yeah.
All that crazy cast. Because she was a lead. She was a major lead.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ensemble cast, so everyone had a substantial part.
Yeah.
We had Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer, Michael Shannon, Don Johnson, Jamie Lee Curtis, Catherine Langford, Jaden Martell, for all you IT fans. Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone?
I don't think so. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good rundown.
I wouldn't know. Snaps to you. I couldn't.
But yeah, I mean, all the cast is like known for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just to all come together and this is like a crazy family.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the family dynamic was cool too. I thought that was a cool part. How everybody was kind of like a. This like crazy kind of zany character. Everybody had their own persona.
Kind of personified what society is kind of like today. Like everyone kind of represented a part of society.
Oh yeah.
So
wait,
like,
say more about that.
So like how Toni Collette was the influencer. She was the influencer. There was like Jamie Lee Curtis as the self-made person. There was Jaden Martell as like a young. What's our the generation after us?
After us?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're generation
Gen Z.
Anyway,
no, that's us.
That's us. Anyway, like there's this young person who's always on his throne, like very aggressive and being basically being a troll. Catherine Langford as like a young up-and-coming activist who's in a college and understands like they want to make change. Michael Shannon and Don Johnson both as older men in society. And then you had Daniel Craig and Lakeith Stanfield who were they were good.
They were good. Yeah.
His accent was throwing me off at
it
first.
It was like when he first showed up,
I was like, "What the heck is this?" Because it did not. I don't think it sounded good, but it grew on me as the movie went on.
I had no idea how to classify that accent.
It was
Southern. Okay. Yeah. It was fine. I mean,
you gotta give the guy props. He's been James Bond since 2006. So let him have some fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. It wasn't any mark against his acting ability or anything. I just thought the accent wasn't. Interesting choice,
it was
to say the least.
What'd you guys think of the whole storytelling and movie dynamic?
Good. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like how they took this direction of not so much trying to figure out who did the murder, but so much as like how they're going to get away with it. I really hope that doesn't give it away too much.
No,
we're trying not to say anything, because you really can't.
Yeah.
You can't really talk about it.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of Rian Johnson since he made Looper with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Emily Blunt. I enjoyed Last Jedi. I understand why there are some people who were not pleased with it, but I understand why people were boycotting it and asking for remakes. That's just people being stupid and crazy. And so watching this movie, I was really hoping it would do well for his sake, and you know it was. So shout out to Rian Johnson. Love the Breaking Bad episodes he directed.
What are the reviews?
For Knives Out?
Yeah.
It's got like a 96, I want to say, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Doing really well.
Exceeded
and
its
box
office expectations.
From what I'm seeing, a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone I know who watched it really liked it. And this is like a wide range of ages too. So
I don't think I'd see it again though.
I
watched it once. I was like, it was good.
It's a good one-time
movie. It's not one of those movies you can really watch again just because you know exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I would watch it again for that one Chris Evans scene.
Which one?
You know, where he's on the couch and he's just going around.
Oh, that was funny.
In the trailer.
So, it's got a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 8.1 on IMDb. Yeah. So, it's doing really well.
Yeah.
It's already regained its budget, so
good.
Budget of $40 million, and it's grossed $70 million so far. So
awesome,
pretty good.
Yeah.
And some other movies, 1917.
Yes,
really.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Somebody, give me a rundown. What's going on with that?
It's like during World War I.
Yeah.
And there's these two British soldiers, and they're given a special task to go beyond enemy lines in the German forces and notify these men that they're in a trap, and it's like 1,600 men, and it's just these two guys going to pretty much save 1,600 soldiers' lives.
Dang. And it's like a kind of undercover thing?
It's not really undercover. It's more of behind enemy lines.
Yeah. It's like a story of these two soldiers just and their adventure to this group of people.
Cool.
It looks really good.
It sounds good. I haven't seen any trailers or anything, so I don't really know too much about it, but that sounds... From what you just told me, that sounds pretty good.
It's directed by Sam Mendes, who is the guy that directed Spectre and Skyfall. He directed American Beauty as well, Revolutionary Road. This one Tom Hanks movie that I can never pronounce because it's like Road to Perdition. I don't know.
You know what I watched for the first time? Speaking of Tom Hanks?
What?
Saving Private Ryan. I saw that for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like over break?
Yeah.
Okay.
At Timmy's house. And it was crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how I haven't seen it sooner. It was really, really good.
How do you pronounce that?
Road to Perdition.
Yeah, okay, Road to Perdition.
What is that?
That's the name of one of the movies he directed, and I just never knew how to pronounce it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's really good at opening scenes, though.
Oh,
we're talking about James Bond. We watched those scenes.
Spectre.
My gosh.
Skyfall's opening scene as well on the train.
Yeah.
They're both
so good. Oh, my gosh.
I'm a sucker for a good chase scene, dude.
So excited for the new one.
Sam Mendes has always been good with opening scenes and hooking the audience as soon as possible. So I'm really excited to see how it progresses.
Is he doing directing No Time to Die or whatever?
No. That's one of the guys. That's the guy that directed True Detective.
Okay. That makes sense. Cause
I don't know who. I don't know who that guy's name, but
okay.
No, Sam Mendes left after Spectre.
Hey, he directed really two phenomenal films. So
yeah, two for two.
Give it up for him.
Yep.
And what did you say? 1917 was already high contender for Best Picture.
Yeah. So according to odds from
Oscars.
Vegas, Oscar
yeah,
odds.
Like, I mean, it's already people can already see it.
Is it out?
Yeah.
Well, it's not officially
out, but like critics are already seeing it.
Oh, okay.
In, like,
okay.
Big Hollywood.
That's how,
I was
that's
so
how,
confused.
Yeah.
I was like, how is it already?
That's how they're already
Hollywood
like reviews.
People,
gotcha.
Not us.
Yeah.
Have seen it, and they're calling it like a big contender for Best Picture.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it's gonna this year's Academy Awards are gonna be very exciting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And we've all seen the Joker.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's another one.
Finally.
Yeah,
we're all on the Joaquin Phoenix Academy Award bandwagon.
That's got to get something. That was he did a great job.
Yeah, but sometimes actors who do their best don't always get the award. But this year it's got a really talented pool of contenders.
Yeah.
We've got Joaquin as the Joker. We have Adam Driver in Marriage Story. We have Robert De Niro in The Irishman.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah,
saw it, right?
I saw it on Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, yeah. 3.5 hours.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But
I want to watch it, but I got to, like, chunk out the time. Because I want to watch it in one go.
You got to watch it over our winter break then, because, like, it's a real throwback. It's directed by Martin Scorsese and starring Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino. So, and it's a real throwback to the Scorsese style of making you sit in a making you sit down and give all your attention to a movie.
Yeah.
You can't, like, you gotta just put your phone away, turn it off if you have to, just sit there and watch it, or else you're gonna miss stuff, and then you're, like, you're hosed, you're screwed.
Yeah.
The acting was phenomenal. Al Pacino specifically, I think, will get a Oscar nomination. What?
Or nothing.
I keep saying Pacino.
Whatever.
Pacino.
I don't know. I'm bad with names.
I'm just laughing at you.
No, it's fine. You're good.
All right. Well, this is my last podcast episode. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank goodness.
Oh. Bye, Pacino.
I'm kidding. No, but yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I have to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is just finding that time.
Yeah.
It's so long.
I feel like there are so many movies and shows I want to watch.
Right.
But I'm
right?
I just don't want to sit down and watch them. I don't know
it's
why.
Too
Wait,
long.
What? Oh, you had me until you said that.
It's not
I just don't have the time to watch.
I just have, like, I have all these shows I want to watch.
Yeah.
But I also want to, like, do activities with my friends and stuff
yeah.
that.
And study of, and, you know,
and study.
Life
make
gets
a podcast.
In the way. Yeah. Podcast, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
You find time.
Yeah.
Turkey Day. How was everybody's Thanksgiving?
It was good.
It was fine.
Good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. What did you guys host?
Yeah.
No. I went to Virginia.
Okay.
To visit family.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hosted.
How was hosting?
I don't know. It's fine. I
don't know.
It's fine. It's like, just imagine having, you know, 22 people at your house.
Yeah. Yeah, good to see the family.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine. We did the drumstick dash in the morning, which is...
What's that?
Like a run for hunger. So it's like...
Oh, okay.
So it's like...
Chicago
little,
has the turkey trot.
Yeah.
So it's,
but, I mean, that was fun. We do that every year.
That's fun.
And that's fun. But, I mean, yeah.
We went to Gulf Shores. We drove down to Gulf Shores, me and the family. So it was fun. What are you guys talking about?
What?
What's going on?
What
I cracked my knuckles under the table and the mic picked it up and I was very concerned. So I guess you guys can hear that now.
This is the second time you've cracked your knuckles.
I did it under the table this time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your Gulf Shores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so we drove one of our roommates, Eduardo. Shout out to Eduardo.
Hola.
And he's from Spain. And so we were driving down... And my grandparents drove with us, and we get to the hotel for the first night, and we wake up in the morning, and we're getting ready to go, and my grandparents, their car won't start. And so we're just sitting in the hotel, like, parking lot, waiting, like, trying to jump their car, but we can't jump it because my parents' car is, like, two spots down, and my grandparents are boxed in on either side, and there's not even enough charge to throw it in neutral.
Really?
So it was just like stuck there, and we had to wait for somebody to come out and move their car. But yeah, it was just a very crazy start to a trip. But it was good. Once we get down there, it's nice to sit on the beach and stuff.
Did you guys have like turkey or anything? Or?
Yeah, so that was the other funny thing. We were like, my family is like a big one for like Thanksgiving leftovers, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like the best thing ever, just putting like turkey and cranberries and all that on a sandwich. But like, yeah, no, it's good. I've seen you giving me weird looks, but
that's it's not good. The only reason, but yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, so we ended up getting like this Thanksgiving in a box from like a local grocery store. And so they had everything like pre-made, and we just heated it up. I mean, the turkey wasn't pre-made, but everything else. Why are you guys giving me weird looks? What's going on?
We're just vibing.
I don't know.
We're in the moment.
I don't know
man.
What you want me to say. Yeah, you're fine. Know. You got a turkey in a box.
It was good. Stuffing in a box. Good. Yeah.
What's your favorite pie?
Pumpkin.
Wait, like Thanksgiving
just,
pie?
Or no, just like overall general? Favorite pie.
Pumpkin.
Apple.
Apple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple for me.
Good old apple pie. Pumpkin's good though.
Thank oh, you. I like pumpkin. I like that's pumpkin. That's a close second.
Yeah.
I mean.
And that's yeah, it. We've run out of
yeah.
everything.
No, we're trying to think.
Pumpkin pie.
No, yeah.
Speaking of pumpkin pie, do you guys remember when we got pumpkin pie at the dining hall?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, we should plug Atherton.
Atherton Union. Shout out for the mini pumpkin pies.
Those
I think
were
I had
really
four of those.
Keith was in love with those.
Those were so good.
Right before an exam, I got like two extra pumpkin pies. I was like, I'm not going to eat these. Keith, take them. Yeah. Actually, I only got them for Keith. So.
Did they only make them that one night?
Yeah.
Aww. Well, they had like prime rib and stuff that one night, too. That
yeah,
was good.
What the heck is with that?
I don't know. Kind of came out of nowhere.
Interesting.
Okay, somebody say something.
Something.
Keith, give
let's
us
see.
A topic.
Okay.
Let's go.
We were talking about, what was it, yesterday we were talking about, what's that movie Millie Bobby Brown's in? She's like a producer for
Oh, the Sherlock
what?
Holmes movie?
She's a producer.
What?
On this new Sherlock Holmes movie that I have
They're making another
no
one.
Idea.
No. So, there are two different types of Sherlock Holmes movies. Right now, there's one being made with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law.
Again? Mm-hmm.
It's the third one in their series. So that's the sequel to the earlier two. Now there's another one being made that's starring Millie Bobby Brown as Sherlock's younger sister, and Henry Cavill, a.k.a. Superman, as Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, I love that man, but...
Yeah, so do I. Bring back Superman. But, yeah.
I heard DC has no idea where they're going with Superman.
Yep.
I saw that the other day. I was like, okay.
We'll talk
no
about
clue.
That after
yeah.
we talk.
Yeah. Here, hit this first, and then we'll go back.
So she's, like, making, I think, $5 million from this movie.
Yeah, it's crazy what you were telling me about
five
how much
million?
Money she's going to make.
She's making $5 million from this movie. If it does well at the box office, she gets an $800,000 bonus. If she gets a bonus for being a producer, and then her salary gets bumped up to $7 million if there's a sequel.
What?
Yeah, so...
And how old is she?
15.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
She's got more zeros in her bank account than all three of us combined.
And, I mean, keep in mind, she's on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And I
they're
think...
They're paid like $200K
an episode. Yeah, I think they're paid like $2.5 million a season for that.
Yep. Can you imagine just, like, how different your life would be? You're 15 and you're that rich.
Yeah,
like think about just, like, where we are right now. Like, college students...
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
I would not have to worry about paying
then,
for college. Oh my god!
And then TV star, movie star.
Yeah, you're 15.
I think about that all the time. Like even with like Premier League stuff, with like 19-year-old soccer players who are like just living the dream.
Oh no, yeah. I mean that's crazy to be like 18 years old and step out onto the pitch of
right?
like at like Old Trafford
and playing against
so,
like guys in their 30s and 40s. Like,
crazy.
Could you imagine if you were 18 years old, you step out on the pitch and you're playing against like if you're in Spain, like Leo Messi,
yeah.
And Italy, Cristiano Ronaldo.
What the heck was that? Was that
sure.
I think so.
Okay,
you're good.
Sorry, and like I feel like soccer is one of the few sports that does that because football,
well, yeah.
size advantage, you know.
Yeah,
and
you
then
can't be a younger like being so young.
Yeah.
You're like at a disadvantage already because you're not as big.
Basketball used to be the same way. They used to have the high school to pro thing. It was called the prep to pro league. But in 2005, David Stern put a law in that stated you had to do at least 1 year of college because while you had guys like LeBron, Kobe, and T-Mac, Dwight Howard, who were all, like, and Kevin Garnett, who were all phenomenal, like, prep-to-pro players. You had guys that were, like, that didn't really plan college. They didn't see it as a priority because they were good in their leagues and ahead in their idea, you know, I can play in the NBA. And then they go undrafted or they go to a training camp or two. They blow all their money and then they're in their mid-20s and they're no longer in the league.
Yeah.
They didn't go to college. Like, everyone who had their hand out from them, like, when they're 18 is gone.
Yeah.
So I'll give David Stern credit for that. You know, that was a smart decision. It encouraged more players to at least go take a year of college and then make the jump. So
yeah, and I think it completely depends on just like how good you are, because you have to think about those players like Zion. You know, you're going for 1 year and then you're going pro.
Yeah.
You know, because why would he want to stay 2 years, risk getting injured?
Yeah.
And then lose out on money.
Yeah.
Not be able to go pro.
And like like, for players that are so good, you're going 1 year, and you're like, well, next year I could be making $5 million.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Or staying at Duke. So, I mean, it's just crazy to think like that. But also, you know, what you were talking about, like, there are some players that, you know, aren't as good, and just having that rule is good for them. Because they can go 3 years, 4 years, and then, get an education, which is important.
That is important. So, I mean, that's the whole reason they're in school. Right.
Yeah. And, like, I liked what Connor was saying about having that pressure as, like, a, basically, like, you're a young teenager child, like, a young adult. I mean, we, like, there are people who joke and, like, make fun of, like, child actors that have, like, gone crazier off the deep
end. Yeah, I don't blame them, though. I mean,
no, I mean,
they're under so much stress.
Like, Lindsay Lohan and Shia LaBeouf, like, from an early age, so both of them were, like, thrust onto this spotlight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they both had their big early hits, like, when they're children. Like, Lohan had Parent Trap. Shia LaBeouf had the Even Stevens. As they're transitioning to young adults, they had Mean Girls and the Transformers series. Like, is it any, like, people just need to, like, and they're under such scrutiny all the time. Like, could you really blame the both of them about, like, them going a little crazy? I mean, it doesn't excuse their actions. Like, I know they both did some pretty stupid things.
Yeah, but I mean, you're under that much pressure, at some point you're going to crack, you know? That's why I'm amazed when you look at Selena Gomez or, give me another one, come on.
Christian Bale. He started working when he was a kid. He was in a movie with Spielberg, and, like, look at him now. He's an Academy Award winner.
And Batman. You don't crack. Like, it's more surprising when child actors turn into adult actors, turn into famous people who have never had a breaking point or anything like that. It's almost as if you're waiting, like, for something to happen, which is very bad to say, I guess, but
my little sister recently began was watching Lizzie McGuire on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Shout out episode 2, 3, something.
Someone in there. And you know, it's like, I remember reading, like, a bunch of the Disney kids after Lizzie McGuire, like, they talked about how they wanted they modeled themselves after Hilary Duff, because Hilary Duff was
successful
model. She never had cracked down. She was always, like, stayed above the fray. And I mean, like, right now she's engaged. She's got 2 children. They're all good health. And she's starting a reboot of Lizzie McGuire. So thank God. For my sister, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Interesting.
Of course.
I like this topic, though. Yeah. Like, talking about just, like, child actors. I couldn't imagine that.
I don't know how we got here.
It's crazy.
I'll have to listen back.
I mean, I don't know. Just going back to Millie Bobby Brown, I couldn't imagine being 15.
Right?
You know, practicing, getting my permit. I have, like, 20 million followers on Instagram.
That's crazy. I didn't even think of
millions
that.
Millions in the
I'm not have, even driving yet.
I have millions of dollars. I travel every week, you know.
Oh, my God.
I could not imagine that.
Really, though, like, What would you guys even do with that much money? I can't fathom it.
That's what I was thinking. I would just save it.
Well, I think if you're, like, 16, you're not going to...
There's no option.
You can't really do anything.
You can't buy a sports car.
But, like, that's... I always think back to Stranger Things and how it just, like, blew up.
Yeah.
That's crazy for, like, all those kids.
And, like, kudos. I mean, to be able to be a little kid and be that successful.
Yeah. And, like, look at...
You're just setting yourself up for life.
I mean, also, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But,
go
like,
ahead.
The Harry Potter kids, like, Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, Emma Watson.
They'll be famous forever,
Yeah, like, they were 11 years old. Like, they were 10 years old when they were all cast.
Yeah.
And then they, like, left their roles when they were 21. And since then,
it's a big chunk of your life to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, and since then, like, everyone knows Emma Watson. Like, she's an icon. Like, she's I think she's a UNICEF ambassador. She's a UN ambassador. Oh, wow. Like, she's in so many amazing movies, Bling Ring, Little Women. Rupert Grint, he's in that TV show Servant and on Apple TV by M. Night Shyamalan. Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, wait, that show? Hit pause real quick. That show looks crazy.
Yeah.
It looks just so weird.
The only thing I've seen is like an ad about a baby and some eye. And the eye. That's all I've seen, and I'm intrigued. That's like crazy. Got me. Like, I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's all about, like, they have a baby and it dies. And so it's like an actual thing. Like, this is like an actual, like, therapeutic exercise, is to, like, have a baby, and it's not real, and treat it like a real baby.
I can never imagine that.
But, like, I guess his show, because, you know, it's M. Night Shyamalan, like, it just goes off the wall.
He's great. So I'm glad M. Night Shyamalan has, like, recovered from some of his late 2000s misses, like The Last Airbender.
I was watching an interview with him on The Tonight Show. He's a really cool guy.
Oh, yeah.
Really? That was, like, my first time.
He shoots all of his movies in, like,
Philly. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually, I think I knew that.
Yeah. But he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think I could put a name to a face if you show me a picture of him, but.
Probably not.
No, but
we'll try.
No, but he's cool.
I like his movies, yeah.
They're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They're very unique. Like, you will know an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's always, like, going to be a twist at the end, too.
Okay, that is not what I expected him to look like at all.
But no, I mean, like, so Rupert Grint, the guy who played Ron's in that one, in this TV show, and Daniel Radcliffe, like, always is going to be Harry Potter. Like, you know, no matter what role he takes, and this is an advantage and a disadvantage, he's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember reading an interview where he was like, one time he was like, kids used to make fun of me because I was really short. And then he said, he says a curse word that I don't want to repeat on here. He's like, screw
just
it.
Say it. Just
beep
say it.
It. Just beep it. I'm Harry beeping Potter.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you are. Like, fuck that. Like, what's stopping you? You start for 10 years on your life as Harry Potter. That's good on you, man.
Have you seen the things about him being the next Wolverine?
Oh, my God. If that were to actually happen, I'd love it.
I know.
He could do it.
He could definitely do it.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. That'd be so cool.
No, like, Daniel Radcliffe, I'll give him credit. After he left Harry Potter, he's done so many different roles, and he's looked into and, like, done so many different things.
Yeah.
Like, he starred in indies.
Indies, yeah.
Like, and they're good indies.
Yeah, they're good.
The Swiss Army Man, that was really funny. I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, and it's starring the guy that plays the Riddler in the new Batman movie.
Wait, what?
Who's that?
Paul Dano. He's in Swiss Army Man, and he plays the new Riddler. But no, like, if Daniel Radcliffe becomes the new Wolverine, that's great and amazing. And
yeah, that'd be so cool.
And I'd
especially
still love
in the MCU. Oh my God, I could talk about this for hours, but X-Men in the MCU, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Now that the whole Fox thing is kind of over.
And that's going to be big for him to...
Oh, my God. Can you imagine X-Men and, like, Avengers on the same screen?
That'd be so cool.
This is my theory for the, like, future of, like, Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Is they're going to take a break from, like, Avengers-type heroes.
I hope.
And start working on X-Men. They're going to start building X-Men the same way. And maybe Fantastic Four, too. But they'll start building those up the same and follow the same formula they used for Avengers.
And so that'd be Phase 5.
And then
eventually
all of a sudden, they'll all be
that'd
be
like
here.
Phase 5, though.
Yeah.
Or 6, wherever they'll get to.
I'm ready, though. I'm willing to wait. I'm excited to see a good X-Men movie.
We have a whole year without any Marvel.
Daniel Radcliffe.
2020, nothing.
It kind of sucks.
Daniel Radcliffe will have some big shoes to fill if he is cast, because Hugh Jackman was the previous Wolverine.
Oh,
and that guy was amazing.
Yeah, he did a great job. Have you seen, like, videos of him, like, behind the scenes?
Oh, my God, it's insane.
Like, when he's running and, like, have you seen, do you know what video I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie The Wolverine? Like, the one that's set in Japan?
Yeah.
I think I watched it on
the airplane.
Like, that guy is, like, crazy jacked in that movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, it was almost to an unhealthy level of how, like, jacked he was.
Bodybuilding?
Yeah, it was insane. But, so kind of deviating from Marvel, let's talk about DC and the state of their films.
We got 20 seconds left.
Let's. All
right, we'll just keep going.
We'll keep going for a little bit.
Yeah, why not?
It's a chatting episode.
Exactly.
Keeping the cash.
Plus, we definitely took like 10 pauses when we had idea what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, hit it DC. All.
So we got the Batman starring Robert Pattinson, and, you know, that's got its cast rounding out.
Yeah.
But what is your guys' thoughts on what they're doing, what they're going to do with Superman? Like, what the hell are they going
to
do
with
Superman?
Oh, yeah, we never went back to it.
Yeah, I don't.
That's why I came back to it.
I don't know. When I saw that, I was kind of like,
holy shit.
What?
Wait, with Michael B. Jordan? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he met with Warner Brothers and gave them this idea, but he wouldn't be able to commit to filming until, like, 2021. So, and they're saying there's not going to be another Superman movie until 2023.
And okay, then, so it could happen timeline-wise.
But Henry Cavill told Men's Health that he's still Superman.
Okay.
As far as he knows.
So. Wait, what? Has he? I thought he got fired.
No, because like last year, you remember when there were like rumors of him being fired and dropped because he couldn't do the Shazam thing and Shazam cameo, and then it down spiraled. And then there was rumors of Michael B. Jordan in the role.
Yeah.
Variety released a piece where they actually met with B. Jordan.
And the thing, oh, sorry, no, you go, you finish.
Yeah, they met with Michael B. Jordan, and he, like, gave them an idea, a pitch for a Black Superman movie.
That'd be so cool.
It would be amazing, because I love Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
But he won't be able to commit to filming because of his crazy schedule, so...
Yeah.
What's with Superman?
I don't know. Like, the thing I saw, I found it was a tweet by Forbes, and it said that apparently DC Films is unsure how to make Superman relevant to modern society.
Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
That's other than that. That's the most. That makes no sense to
that's
me.
The most cheese statement ever. Because like, Superman, come on. He's the perfect vision of hope and, you know, justice and all that. That can be relevant through the end of time.
Michael B. Jordan with his like Black Panther hair in that suit. Oh. That'd be so sick. Cool. Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, I feel like it's easier for them to adapt Batman and all their other heroes because. Yeah. Like, of their reputations. You know, Batman is, like, the Dark Knight. He's, like, you know what he stands for. He's vengeance. And then, like, it's easier to make go darker than it is to create the, like, ideal
person. I agree with that, yeah. Like easier to go, that's a good way to put it. Darker than the other way around.
Yeah, because, like, 1970s, they had the Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. And then they made the sequels. Number 2 was good. 3 and 4 tanked.
Yeah.
They have to leave it alone for another 20 years.
Don't touch it. Yeah.
But at the meantime, they're going to make TV shows. So it kind of, you get your own interpretations.
Smallville, right?
Smallville with Tom Welling.
Have you seen that, Keith?
No.
It's really good.
It's really good.
And then you get Clark and Lois in the 90s with Dean Cain. And then in 2006, which was, I'm pretty sure, almost 20 years after the last Superman.
Yeah.
You get Superman Returns with Brandon Routh. And the problem with that was they tried to make a continuation on the Richard Donner movies, and even though it made a boatload of money, people couldn't relate to that Superman. Like, it was a Superman that, like, parents had grown up with, but kids couldn't relate and understand with.
And that's hard to keep that audience if
exactly.
The younger demographic side can't relate to it, then they're going to grow up without a Superman, potentially, as a movie reference.
And then in 2012, we're introduced, our generation is introduced to a new Superman in the Man of Steel, Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who are
I love him in that role.
Yeah, like, people are like, oh, Zack Snyder made the DCEU too dark. Like, I can't understand or emphasize it with it, but it's like, no, I like to think of the Man of Steel kind of going with the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man, shout out to episode 1, where it's like, you know, you have this outsider who isn't being really accepted by society.
Yeah.
And, like, he has these abilities, and he uses it for the good of people, even though they don't appreciate him or will never appreciate him.
Uh-huh.
And, like, through Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, like, even in a bunch of internet websites, like, I'll occasionally look back on the Man of Steel, and you see all these, like, subtle instances that Cavill and Snyder both do where it's, like, where you're trying... You see the humanity of... Superman in those movies, and then people are still like freaking out. And then Batman vs. Superman and Justice League, they rushed the Superman story with that too much. So
I don't know, people bashed on that film, and I really...
Which one?
I'm just like
Justice League?
Just the DC movies, I guess. Yeah, not just that film, but just DC movies in general, people bash on them so much. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker, but like, I like him.
So do I.
It's good acting.
Ben Affleck was a great Batman.
Decent storyline. I thought he was good, yeah.
No, I remember when they announced his casting, people were going insane, and they're like, oh, he's ruined it. All right, Matt Damon's going to be Superman or The Flash now. Like, no, yeah. Guys, like, chill out. Ben Affleck is an Oscar director. He's amazing. Not Oscar winner. He's a director. He's good.
I want them to remake the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, that was a mess.
I know. That one was actually bad. But, I think
Ryan Reynolds was all right, though. I like Ryan Reynolds, but that was not the right superhero movie for him.
It was just...
bad.
Yeah, it was just bad.
It was bad. Bad for everyone involved, except Ryan Reynolds, who met his wife on there. So, congratulations. I don't know what they're going to do with Superman. I really hope Henry Cavill stays in the role. I love him. He's the guy I watch Superman in, but I don't know. And then the CW, they're doing their big crossover event, Crisis on Infinite Earths. So they have their own CW Superman, which was introduced through
Supergirl.
Yeah, through the TV show Supergirl. They're bringing back Brandon Routh as an alternate version of Kingdom Come. Yeah. Superman, and then Smallville. Tom Welling's coming back, and allegedly all three are supposed to share a scene suited up together, which will be interesting. But I don't think this really helps the whole.
No.
What the hell do we do with Superman?
Yeah, it definitely does not help. But
it's which sucks because
c'est la vie.
I mean, Superman is to DC what Spider-Man was to Marvel. So
I agree with that. Yeah.
What are you supposed to do if you can't get them right?
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. They'll figure it out. I hope.
I give them, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And they'll make an announcement or something.
Yeah. It's too big of a money scheme to let it sit and not touch it for too long.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to rush it, but you also don't want to wait so long that people are like, ugh.
Before people leave, and then the stars and directors are just like, screw it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We good there?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we're done.
This was our spitball episode. Yeah. We didn't...
Throwing it at the wall and seeing if it sticks. If you guys like this format, let us know. I feel like this one was a little rough. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We took a little too many pauses.
Yeah. But okay. That's expected. Yeah. This one was a new tactic. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys next week.
All right.
Adios.